let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, this is an exciting show for many reasons. Actually, I have a birthday coming up, and when people start to have birthdays, I don't know about people. Let me talk about myself. I start thinking about the years that I've had on this planet up until now, the experiences that I had, the people that have helped me with those experiences, both experiences that at one point I considered good, and now sometimes I look at them differently, and experiences that I've considered bad, and now sometimes I look at those differently. And it's interesting to see how, after so much work that I've done on myself, and now as a life coach over the past several years, how I've been able to work with others on things that I've learned and things that I'm still learning, and helping others learn as well as others are helping me learn. This show is quite interesting to me because so much of what I have learned takes me back to my childhood and where I felt like I learned the foundations of who I was, both the quote-unquote good and the quote-unquote bad. The good is that there were things about myself growing up that I look back and say, I knew it all along. I was right. And then there are things that I look back and say, I wish I hadn't learned that, or I wish so-and-so would have believed me or trusted me. And some of those little things ended up being big things that I've struggled with all of my life until in the past several years as I've worked through them, only to come now full circle and say, oh, maybe I needed to learn that. And I wish I didn't have to learn it that way, or there might have been a better way to learn it. So all of these things, especially when one has a birthday or myself, I look at. So this is a special show, not just because of that, but because of our guest, of course. Michael Simonson, our guest, we have had on the show before with great pleasure, actually. And he works with children and parents in relationship to their children primarily. And so I think, wow, if there had been a Michael Simonson around when I was a child, I wouldn't have had to necessarily learn through all the ways that I've learned, or I could have learned more about who I was or better, and maybe now I would be in a different place. Happily, I can say I'm in a great place, and I'm happy and looking forward to the future as I and those that I know around me are helping others be in a great place today and helping their children be in a great place so that we all can be in a greater place together going forward. So as I work with parents, I know that many times parents are uncomfortable with the way they are parenting. And so I say that if the parent is actually doing the best they know how, and truly, if they're doing the best they know how, and if they're always looking for better ways to do better, then I say everything else I chalk up to the child's journey. So the child has their journey, and they've come here to have the best parent they can have for the journey that they have. If parents are divorced, or if parents are in a situation of one way or the other, or they have certain handicaps themselves, that is part of the child's journey, as long as the parent is doing their absolute best. Question is, how do we know if we're doing our absolute best? And I always say, are you constantly striving to do better, be better, and to be the best self you can? And if you are, that's more than we can ask for. And then everything else is the child's journey, as well as the parent's journey. And the child will have their own growth process there. If the parent instead worries about what they're not being able to provide their child because they have certain issues or certain handicaps, and they're not trying to take care of them, then unfortunately, that will lead to other issues that the child didn't necessarily sign up for, as far as I'm concerned, and it makes their life, their journey, much more difficult. So these are some of the things that we're going to talk about with our guest, Michael, when we come back on Life Changes with Filippo, right after this with Michael Simonson.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
This is Filippo, and I'm proud to say our guest is once again Michael Simonson. Now, Michael has been working as an energy practitioner and a teacher for over 25 years. He works with parents, children, educators, and health practitioners in understanding how to help energetically sensitive children. We're going to talk about what that means. How to help energetically sensitive children awaken to the truth of who they are. Michael teaches that it is important for parents, educators, and health practitioners to be coming from the same place that they desire their children to come from. Through his one-on-one counseling sessions and workshops, people are given all the tools necessary to live empowered, loving lives. Don't you just love those words? Michael was the facilitator of the Energy Program, that's Energetic Mindfulness, at the Hunter School in Rumney, New Hampshire. He is now expanding and is offering to facilitate these energy programs to other educational institutions. Later on in the program, we'll let you know how you can attend some of his programs or have his programs or him directly teach in your schools. But for now, we welcome Michael Simonson to the program.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
It's special having you here, and in this special occasion, a third reason why this is special is because your whole family is here with us.
Yes, it's a wonderful thing to have my ladies with me on this trip.
And so how beautiful to see the work in progress and how it really does work.
It does, yes.
Your child is such a bright light. You in the commercial, you said, "I nailed it." Thank you. I was speaking from my heart, off the top of my head, and what I was feeling. Share with me then what you were referring to.
Well, when you talked about your childhood experiences, the things that you did right and what you called wrong. You know, children learn through having experiences. They come into this world, you know, from the light, and you know, all of us come into this world, and we have to explore this world. At times, children are going to create from a positive, loving place, and other times they're going to, you know, do negative things. And when a child does something negative, of course, to me, I don't see that as wrong or bad. I just see that as a wonderful opportunity to teach that child the consequences of choosing to create from that place.
The topic of children, raising children, and helping children grow into the bright lights that actually technically they already are, but how to maintain that or expand that is one of the most important topics that I think we could be discussing on this planet at this time. And it's definitely something that we could have a show on every single week because it's so expansive. I'd like to start with yet another expansive topic on this, the energetic part of the energetically sensitive children. How do we net that out for parents who don't necessarily know what that means?
Well, everything is energy. Our thoughts are energy. If you've been around somebody who's been really angry, you know, you'll often feel negative because you're picking up on the thought forms that that person is putting out. Mm. Now, for children in this world, it's a really confusing world because there's, you know, over 7 billion human beings on this planet, and a lot of them are, you know, radiating negative thought forms that reflect the struggles that they have in their day-to-day lives. Mm. So this is, you know, these energetically sensitive children are picking up on the mental and emotional thought forms that are being radiated by these people. And their ability to pick these thought forms is 1,000 times more sensitive than their parents, the adults. Mm. They're just that much more sensitive. Each generation coming in now is coming in on a higher vibration, which means, in essence, in these areas, they're more evolved than the previous generations. Mm. So, for a lot of these children, when they're not taught how to deal with the fears that are part of this world, it becomes a very confusing, fearful place for them. You know, people tell me all the time all the problems that children have and all the labels. And to me, children don't have problems. It's us and the world that we've created for them that are, you know, the problem. Mm. And the other thing that happens to children, you know, right from the time we're in our mother's womb, sharing the genetic information that mom and dad pass on to create the fetus. And as you know, our parents and all down through the ages, this has not been a really happy world. There's always wars going on, you know, struggle, strife, and that information is passed on. And also what affects children while they're still in the womb is every thought that mom and dad has is shared with the child. Mm. And so children will take on board the energetic thought forms that mom and dad use to live their life. And if mom and dad are frustrated or angry all the time, then that's the energy these children pick up. And it becomes very confusing for them because children look to mom and dad to love them, to keep them safe, and all of those other cool things. And when they don't get that, it becomes confusing. The child starts withdrawing within themselves. You know, some of these autistic children who are nonverbal, if you look at them on an energy level, they're a bright, beautiful little being, but, well, they're not little, but they've really shut themselves down energetically. They put themselves in a bubble and withdraw from the, you know, the greater world and live in their own little world, and usually don't come out of it unless they're in a really safe environment or doing something that they're happy and comfortable and doing. Mm. So it's important that parents understand that every thought that they have, you know, 24/7 is shared with the child, and how they deal with their life, their partners, their world, their friends, their work, is how they're teaching their children how to deal with their world. I worked with many children even adults when they were children said, or teenagers, when I grow up, I'm not going to be like mom or dad. Then they grow up and get into dealing with life situations and then find themselves responding from those same places that mom and dad did.
That's all they know.
Now, you were mentioned earlier before we started the program about, you know, some parents feeling bad about the type of parents they've been. Mm. And I've seen this often in workshops, you know, because one of the things I focus on in workshops is explaining our consciousness and how we're all connected and how our thoughts affect each other. Mm. And, you know, in this world here, moms are taught you're not a loving mom if you don't worry about your children. Mm. But worrying is a totally negative energy, a negative emotion. So anytime mom is worrying about a child, she is in essence psychically attacking her child with negativity.
Wow.
One of the questions that I've been asked often by a lot of moms and some dads, you know, with the children I'm working with who've been really violent and had all these labels on, is why is my son or daughter more violent with me than anybody else?
Wow.
The reason being is mom has this great love in the core of her being, but worries about her child. Are they going to be on pharmaceuticals for the rest of their life? Are they going to be institutionalized? Right. What kind of life are they going to have? So they have all these worries, all these fears, and so the love flows from the core of their being, goes through all of these fears, and they blast the child with these powerful negative energies that are initially empowered by her love.
Now, understandably, unless I'm going with the way we've been taught, these are things to worry about because they don't want their children to have to be on pharmaceuticals the rest of their lives or this or that or what the world's going to be like. So what can they do but worry? Because that's what comes natural to them.
Well, it's what they've been taught. It's not natural to worry.
Good point. Right. It's what mom did and grandma did.
Yes. And, right. And so, you know, in workshops, I'll see a parent going, you know, when I start talking to them about this is how energy works, and then they'll start feeling guilty or bad. Oh, my God, I've been worrying about my child all the time. This is what I've been doing to my child. And then I'll say, well, okay, well, you've been taught to do that. You know, did you have this understanding around energies and thoughts and consciousness and how your thoughts affect your children? No. So you've been doing the best that you could as a mom with the tools that you were given. And so if you feel bad now about when you have this newer understanding or an understanding that really reflects the reality of what's really going on energetically, if you feel bad about that, then you're just adding more negativity to the situation.
Vicious cycle.
Yes. Whereas, you know, and it's cool because then once they understand it, and then you can see the parent now, cool, now I understand. Now I can, you know, they can now deal with those negative energies, you know, because no mom likes to think that they're psychically attacking their own child. And so once they understand that, it becomes a really powerful motivator for them to get in control of their own thoughts. Because ultimately, if a parent wants a child to be loving, peaceful, in control, being their real selves, then the parent has to, or parents have to come from that place themselves. You know, I've seen lots of parents where they're having problems with their child or children, and they want their children to be the right way, positive, loving, truthful, honest, cool, and yet they themselves are angry, frustrated, fight with their partner, fight with their life situations, and it doesn't work, you know, because every, you know, thought that the parent has or parents have to deal with their life situations from those angry, negative places is what they're giving to their children. And when you, you know, tell a child to be loving and peaceful when you're not coming that way yourself, I'll give you another example. Years ago,
do as I say and not as I do.
I was working up in Vernon, British Columbia, out of a place called Okanagan Center for Holistic Living. And one day these three teenagers came in, and they were, you know, really proud of themselves. And they came into this center because they wanted to make fun of everything in there. And they were packing a satanic Bible. They're into Satanism. So they're coming in there to show who's the boss, more or less. So I brought him back into my back office, and I asked the one guy that was the ringleader. I said, "You know, well, why did you know what got you into this Satanist stuff?" He says, "Well, my parents go to church every Sunday, and they talk about love, but they fight and argue all the time. They, you know, but there's nothing to love. There's nothing there. It's not real. In the Satanic Bible, they talk about hate and anger and negative emotions, and of course, these are all emotions that they felt, so it's real to them." Or was real to them. So to them, that's where the power was, in the negative stuff. So I said, "Oh, well, that's interesting." And so I said, "Well, would you like me to show you the light stuff, the love stuff, what love really is?" And so I ran him through some white light exercises, energy exercises, and this young guy was totally blown away. And so he went from being into that dark stuff to getting into the white light stuff. He got his other brothers involved in it who were into drugs and alcohol, and got all of them doing white light stuff and meditating and doing the cool stuff.
Wow.
Which totally blew away his parents. And eventually he even asked it if I would do counseling for the whole family.
Wow.
Which was good. And I did that, and everybody was going along great. And then it was really funny one time, mom was saying, "I'm really worried about the one son who's going to be hitchhiking from where we were in the central interior to Vancouver on the coast." And I says, "Well, Mom, if you worry about him, you can't love him." And she says, "Well, Mom's supposed to love." And then she got really, really angry at me. And I went from being the nicest guy in the world now to this really cold-hearted person, you know. And
it's such a shift in consciousness that and so many people don't have a foundation in what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So I understand that it is a process.
Yes. Well, again, you know, our thoughts are energy, and you know, worrying is a negative emotion,
right.
You know, anger. Anytime we get angry, we bombard everybody that we're linked to, everybody that we love, with negativity. We not only bombard the person we're angry with, but our children, our partner, everybody we're connected to.
You know, I have said now, after having interviewed almost 1,000 people, I believe, formally and informally, who knows, however many, because I've always been a curious person, child, and grew up asking people so many questions about themselves and the world and all of that. So after having spoken to so many people, everybody I've spoken to had something, quote unquote, at least one thing, quote unquote, bad happen to them. So those who have tuned into that quote unquote bad thing and allowed it to potentially be a good thing, a way to change their life, have said that if it hadn't been for that, their life wouldn't have been better after that, et cetera, et cetera. So I have taken that just recently and said, okay, this worrying thing, right? I have nieces and nephews and friends and people and family that I could worry about too. And I think instead, if I send them light and love and positive energy, if one of those quote unquote bad things does happen to them, maybe that's part of their journey so that they could then take it up a notch to that next level that people talk about, if it hadn't been for that. However, if I'm sending them positive energy, they could have that bad thing happen and use the positive energy to transform it.
Mm-hmm. Well, ultimately, all of us learn through having experiences. And so this is a realm of duality where we can create with positive or negative energies.
Ah.
Now, so all of us at some point in our life will explore creating with negative energies and the consequences. Now, especially, you know, people who are what I call light workers, you can't teach something you haven't experienced.
Ah.
So the trick is, of course, is when we have these negative experiences, first of all, it's not
so. Is that why we feel like we got the bulk of it?
Yeah. Yeah. But the trick, again, is not to feel bad about having those negative experiences.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, because, well, you know, when we go negative, what we learn is it's impossible to love, to give love or to receive love, to be joyful, to be happy, to be in control.
You shut down.
Yes. And you let your fears be your boss.
Mm.
Well, this is one thing that kids really get, you know, as I teach them that our thoughts are energies. And when you're negative, you're letting your negativity control you. You're no longer in control.
Mm.
You become a disempowered being.
Mm.
And children get that a lot faster than adults. And then so, you know, afterwards, if they start going back into those negative places, which they'll do if they've been negative for a long period of time, because our neural pathways become hardwired to reflect our life's choices. Mm. And so if somebody's been in a negative place for a period of time, they're hardwired now to
it's
be
their
that
go-to.
Way. Yes.
Mm.
They do that without thinking. It becomes habitual. So... it takes practice to catch yourself in that. But also, again, being negative, when I see a child being negative, I don't feel sorry for that child. First of all, if I did, I'd be bombarding them with even more negativity, which, you know, they're already having a tough enough time dealing with what's going on in their life.
Mm.
So when I look at them, I see it, oh, cool, this is a wonderful opportunity to assist this child in understanding the duality of this world and how to master it so they can come into their power and be their own master instead of fear being their master. And of course, when fear is our master, we'll find ourselves also being affected by the fears that rule other people's experience.
Wow. You know, you just said a lot. I for you, it might be just like, well, that's just a few minutes of...
It is.
For most people, this is a lifetime of learning right here. Is if they got one or two of what you just said, one or two of the main points of what you just said, it would literally change their one point would change their life,
mm-hmm.
and the experience of their children and their whole family and everybody they love, especially themselves.
Yes. Well, for me, I mean, this is why I love doing this, because I love seeing people get on top of things. And in workshops and it's wonderful to see parents and that getting it and understanding now why their lives have been the way they have been, how, you know, why they were the way they were as children. the things that influence them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't master anything until you understand something. So once, you know, and all this stuff to me is really, really easy.
Mm.
You know, it's just a matter of understanding, you know, the power of our thoughts, how we're connected, the consequences of thinking of positive and negative energies.
Mm.
And, you know, it may sound like a lot when we're talking like this, but after a while, once you start understanding the basis of it, it becomes really, really simple.
I get that. And it is simple. And hopefully we'll have opportunity to talk more about this. Well, we will actually. How about when we come right back here on Life Changes with Filippo with Michael Simonson, right after this.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeidel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. This is Filippo, and our guest today is Michael Simonson. And when I asked him about his title or tagline, he says, "I'm just a guy from British Columbia mountains who knows about energy." Well, he must have learned something up there in the mountains and tuned into something to be able to translate it for us all here, and to have worked with so many parents and so many teachers, and have had so many successes. Actually, the kinds of things that are said about him, for example, this woman, Sandra, says, "The great distinction about Michael Simonson's extraordinary healing ability is quite simply, it is pure mastery." I could go on and on with what they say about him. What others have said, he is an energy practitioner. He is a teacher. And like I said, he works especially with energetically sensitive children. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But if you want to know more about his work, or for those of you who are in Los Angeles and can this weekend go to one of his workshops and meet him and see him in person and learn from him directly, you can go to energeticallysensitivechild.us or .com, energetically sensitive child. And for those of you who want to simplify it, just take the first letters of energetically sensitive and child, and you'll get ESC, and you can go to esc.ms and learn all about his work, learn about his workshop coming up. And if you are if you have a child that you want to see if you can get in and have an appointment with him directly, or to see if you can get him to come and speak at your child's school or to do one of his programs at your child's school, you could write to programs, with an S, programs at energeticallysensitivechild.com to contact Michael Simonson directly. Now, Michael, we've touched on so many subjects, and of course, obviously revolving around children, because most of our issues growing up and into adulthood, not just our issues, our foundation is based on what we feel from our parents, what we learn from them, and what we learn from our world at that time, school, TV, etc. there are children today that are being diagnosed in the hundreds of thousands as having issues. And some of these issues are not necessarily what the medical community is calling them. So they're being drugged, et cetera. What is actually happening with some of these children today?
Well, a lot of the labels that they're putting on children are by people who don't understand that there's more to our physical beings than just our physical bodies, that we have an energy field, that we're energy beings, and that, you know, our thoughts are energy and what we think we project. You know, children will say to a teacher in school, "I'm hearing voices."
Mm-hmm.
And then instantly everybody goes into fear. There's something wrong with this child. Now, mm-hmm. we're energy beings. Telepathy, mind-to-mind contact is the norm.
Mm.
It is normal to hear voices and to see things within your mind. It's not normal not to do that.
Mm.
But when fear becomes our master, of course, we shut down to all of those abilities to, you know, use our own mind, you know, telepathy, if you want to call it. And there's, you know, you'll see proof of that with, you know, say two people have been together for a long time and they really love each other. They'll know what each other is thinking without speaking,
mm-hmm.
you know. But we've had lots of experience of that also. You know, anytime you're around somebody who's really angry, you'll feel the negativity coming from them. Just like if you're around somebody who's really bubbly and happy and having a wonderful time, you'll find yourself being uplifted by being in that person's thought forms.
Mm-hmm.
And so... a lot of these children who have all these different labels put on them are just what I call energetically sensitive children living in a world where on a mental and emotional level, they're having to deal with a lot of fears.
Mm.
The mental, negative and mental and emotional energies of whatever may be going on in their family, but also in the greater collective consciousness. Mm. Again, there's over 7 billion human beings radiating, for the most part, negative thought forms that reflect their life's experiences, mm-hmm. struggling to survive, provide for themselves. And for these energetically sensitive children, it causes them on a mental and emotional level to deal, you know, to deal with all these negative thought forms. And because they're not taught how to deal with it energetically properly, it really consumes them. And then that negativity gets taken into their own energy fields, and then they start now making choices that reflect the negativity that they're now carrying in their energy field that came from outside of themselves.
You know, I have to take an aside real quick here, because you reminded me of something that I wanted to say earlier. Yes, there are so many people struggling to put food on the table or to keep roofs over their heads, and they're struggling within work because the work environment is such that people have been taught when they become managers or bosses that they can mistreat their employees, etc., and that's the way to do it and how to motivate people, etc. So it just feeds upon itself. The interesting thing to me is if there isn't enough of that already, then people come home and turn on the television and there's one negative programming after the other, or the news, and the children are hearing this. But then on weekends, we take our children to see, some of us take our children to see negative mm-hmm. movies where they're bigger than life and louder than life. And the parents are also going to their own negative programmed films.
Oh, you bring up something that this world really needs to understand is, you know, what we're doing to these children with negative movies, TV programs, video games. Children, you know, whatever you think about, you connect to energetically within the collective consciousness.
Mm.
So when you put a child down and you play a movie about wars or negative stuff, mm. they will, on an energy level, link into everybody on the planet who are coming from that negative place.
Mm.
You know, I worked with this one little boy who had Tourette's.
Mm.
Now, Tourette's is, you know, just an energy thing. It's totally curable. And anybody suffering with Tourette's is somebody who's just a really energetically sensitive person, but they're not in control of their energies.
Ah, I didn't know that.
And so when this child would look at a poster or anything to do with negative movies, he'd instantly start having tics.
Hmm. He'd shout something out.
Well, he would connect to the people in the real world that were engaged in those kinds of things.
Hmm.
And, you know, so we're exposing our children to a lot of negative thought forms and energies just by presenting all of this negative stuff. And then also another thing that we're really doing that is with these movies and TVs and computer games, children don't have to focus anymore. They don't have to be creative anymore because they're given all of this stuff. So they don't have to use their own creativity. Now, one of the things that children who are having a lot of problems, you'll find they have a real bad ability to focus. And so when children don't have to be creative anymore, they lose. When we were kids, you know, we read books or went outside and played. We had to be creative, you know, so we had to be in control of our own energies in order to be creative. In other words, we had to focus.
Right.
And the more you focus, the more you're in control of your own consciousness. And so for children nowadays, the vast majority of them, everything is given to them on a creative level. They don't have to use their own intellect. They never have an opportunity to open up to their own abilities, their own real selves, their creative selves.
A friend of mine, Professor Dario Nardi at UCLA, actually did a study on, I don't remember how many hundreds of students, but when he put electroencephalograph on their heads, and when they were watching television, absolutely nothing happened in the brain to speak of for what he was studying. And
They're running on autopilot.
Right. There was no creativity.
Yeah.
And so the video games, a little bit more than TV. So he says that's better than having your children watch TV. But either of them, I mean, it's just like the lesser of the two evils. So it connected right to what you're saying, is that when we were younger or children, we had to put blocks together and this and that. We had to actually think, as opposed to having it all happening in front of us on a video game or on TV. So we need to get the children out there being creative.
Yes. And any child who has anger issues or any kind of issues around anything negative, you know, is a child that I would not, you know, would not allow them to watch anything negative on TV or play any kind of negative games. Now, one of the things that I notice is a lot of these children who have issues do that stuff all the time.
See, now, and this is great to know, and I know parents are listening and going to get a lot out of this. At the same time, so much of this is out there in the world that if the parents don't hand their children a video game, then they are bad parents in the eyes of the child, and then they could hate the parent for it. And then they don't grow up with some of the socialization that other kids have it and I don't. So doesn't that create other kinds of negativity and problems in their life?
Well, it does. But what I'll tell to the parent is, you know, well, first of all, talk to your child. Do they have anger issues? And the child is going to say yes. So are you in control of your energies when you're negative? And the child's going to say no. So, okay, so these are all negative things you're watching. You know, how's that going to help you when you're already not in control? And giving the power back to the child and telling the child, well, look, when you can learn to be in control of your own energies, then I'll have no problem with you watching those kinds of things or playing those kinds of games. But also, you'll find that once a child comes into a place that represents their real self, they'll have no interest in that negative stuff, anyways. And another thing, though, you know, there's all kinds of really cool nature programs on Netflix. You know, there's programs around the universe and life on this planet. You know, there's a whole lot of really cool educational stuff that children can be exposed to. One of the times at the Hunter School, the kids were, you know, getting upset because they couldn't watch a lot of the negative stuff that they're used to watching at home. And I said, well, we'll get you these programs. There's Blue Planet and Planet Earth and that, and I'm not interested in watching that. But as soon as we put it on, the kids just got totally enmeshed in it, just because, you know, it's just stuff that you would take many, many lifetimes to experience, you know, in 1 hour just watching this, seeing, you know, life on this planet, nature, and children love that stuff. But if you don't expose it to them, then they have no awareness that it even exists, because most of the stuff that they're exposed, even Walt Disney, a lot of the programming that Walt Disney has for children, I wouldn't let my child watch because it teaches children to be disrespectful, to be dishonest.
We could talk for days on this. 4 days. Yes, 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 and yes. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, some more helpful tips on how to help parents with their children, things they can start today. And of course, they can go to your website at energeticallysensitivechild.us or energeticallysensitivechild.com or simply esc.ms. That's M as in Mary, S as in Sam. esc.ms. We'll be right back with a few more minutes with Michael Simonson right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We are back, and you might have heard us talking there. We're going to have a special guest join us. It is Michael Simonson's very own daughter. And she is only seven, is she? You're seven and a half. Oh, okay. You're absolutely, she's seven and a half. And her name is?
Sabina.
Sabina is going to join us for a quick moment because she did something very special at the before we started the show. And we're going to talk about this with her dad, Michael Simonson, in just a moment, about a sense of self. And Michael asked his daughter who she was, or who are you? What was the question?
Who you really are.
Who you really are.
Who's Sabina?
Who is Sabina? And this is what she said. And she's smiling really big. I wish you could see it. So, Sabina, who are you really?
Happy, positive, truthful, loving, creative, wise, helpful, positive, one's real nice. That's all I can remember.
And what a beautiful thing to be.
That last
Thank
one
you.
Was following the only ask once rule.
And I didn't catch that.
Yeah. Well, we have in the house, we have, well, house rules, because it's important for children to learn to be responsible and participate in the house. But one of the rules we have is the only ask once rule. That means if we ask Sabina to do something, she just does it without question. I tell Sabina the importance, as other children too, the importance of learning to follow directions is, you know, causes you to focus. It teaches you how to take care of business, to be responsible, so that when you grow up, what kind of person will you be?
Happy.
In control.
Yeah.
And have a good life. And so it's important, you know, one of the things I've noticed with some parents and that their children are just guests in the house. Mom and dad do everything.
Mm.
Even, you know, 10, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids, 15, 16-year-old kids could be sitting at a kitchen table, mom, get me a glass of water or a glass of milk. And they treat, you know, moms like a servant.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens when children, when mom does everything for the child grows up seeing mom as being that way. And then they grow up, then they're going to treat their partner that way.
Mm.
And of course, it's going to cause a lot of disharmony when now the partner has to be the mother instead of the wife.
You know, growing up, I memorized a lot of things, was asked to memorize things in school. Never was I asked or encouraged to memorize anything like this. And I think to myself, when we have our self-talk, how many things... You have a question?
Yes.
Is it okay for her to ask a question?
Actually, I have a statement.
You have a statement? Okay, Sabina has a statement. What's that?
Even when it was wintertime, I was the one who feeling...
Oh, one of Sabina's chores was to get the firewood.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's what fuels the house, so... Even when it was pitch black out, he still made me do it, which was pretty annoying, but I did it anyway.
Oh, and I bet you kept the house warm because you did it. And that felt good. So I'm thinking of the things that I learned to memorize. And unfortunately, I would hear certain statements about myself that I won't say because I'm in the...
That were negative.
Right. And so I'd hear myself then repeat those things. Oh, I'm such a this. Oh, I can't believe I did this. I'm such a that. And well, as opposed to what Sabina just said, mm-hmm. I'm happy.
You bring up a very, very powerful thing here, because a lot of children are brought up that way. You know, their parents will say negative things to them when they're frustrated and angry.
Mm.
Of course, you'll find also that those parents had that same information imparted to them when
right.
they were kids.
Right.
And so when you do this to a child, impart that kind of negative information, which of course does not reflect the truth of that child, because every, you know, all of us inside are positive, loving beings.
Mm-hmm.
But when you constantly send negativity to a child or say negative things to them, then they, you know, first of all, when parents impart it, you know, children see parents as the most powerful beings in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever mom and dad says is true. So when a parent says negative things like this, the child believes it. They lose total, you know, they have no longer a sense of self anymore. And so with children, one of the things I stress with all parents is to daily reinforce who they really are. Positive, loving, capable, wonderful, awesome, intelligent, all of that stuff. And so once a child starts getting a sense of who they are, then it's not important for them anymore what other people think.
Mm.
You know, they no longer live their lives to accommodate other people's thoughts or fears or judgments. They become confident in themselves. They don't need other people to prop them up, which then allows that child now to come into their power.
Now, you have tools on the website where parents can play something or memorize something with their kids or help them memorize. Where is that?
White Light Children tab.
So if you go to... E as in Edward, S as in Sam, C as in... Actually, I'm going to do that again. E as in energetically, S as in sensitive, and C as in child.com. And then click on, what did you say, White Light Children?
Yes.
White Light Children. What do we have here? You have audio. Okay.
Yeah, so these are audio clips of children doing white light exercises.
And they can listen to this and repeat as
do
well.
Do it with their own children.
Yeah.
But you see, once a child, you mentioned how impressed you are with Sabina. I mean, the only reason Sabina is the way she is because she knows who she is, you know, and She doesn't need anybody to tell her she's good or anything else. Mm-hmm. She's confident in herself, and as a consequence, she'll talk to total strangers like you guys, mm-hmm. without, you know, feeling bad or anything. Whereas a child, when they're not sure of who they are because of the negative programming that you went through and most children go through in this world, you're shy, you withdraw within yourselves, you don't believe in yourselves, you have no idea of all the cool things that you're capable of doing. Mm. And then with these labels also that, you know, I see put on children, I've worked with children who say, I can't read. Why? Well, because I have ADHD or OCDs or whatever. And I said, no, you don't. You don't have any problem. It's just you're really energetically sensitive. And by teaching them doing these white light exercises, clearing the fear and the pain and the negativity out of their energy fields by doing this, then they come more into their power, and then they find, you know, they have the energy to focus on this level to do this stuff that in the past they were told they couldn't do. Mm. And it's important that teachers and parents don't label their children and see them as being disabled just because some medical person put this label on them. Because because the parents and the teacher's thought forms are shared by the child, and if the adults around the child see them as being handicapped or mentally disabled for whatever, then the child will make that their reality.
The child will sense that whether they say it or not, right?
They'll pick up the thought forms. I've worked with kids who have never been personally told the labels that were placed upon them and yet knew about it.
Wow.
Just because of what they get from their parents.
Wow.
And the teachers. I've seen kids who had problems reading, and then when you talk to them about that, reading's not a problem anymore. Hmm. It's just, you know, if a child doesn't know who it is and doesn't believe in its own abilities, of course it's going to struggle when you give it these kinds of tasks. Wow. Whereas if you teach a child that they're capable of doing anything, and they, when they believe that, then all of this stuff becomes real easy. I mean, Sabina here will, you know, the amount of schoolwork that she gets in school, her homework she brings home, I mean, she can do in minutes.
Yeah, she went on to say it's boring.
Yes. Yes, well, that's another thing, you know, that's a whole other topic. But, you know, a lot of children are challenged, you know, around their creative abilities. And one of the things our schools are really, really could do to change is to, you know, work with children as individuals and to work towards whatever creative needs or desires that children is choosing to explore or check out.
I will have to say this. My father, I went to public school growing up. My father used to say to me when I was done with my homework really early as well, he'd say, okay, well, the school helped you open the door. Now walk through it. Go do your own research. Go read something else. And I'd say, but I did what the school told me. So that's just the opening of the door.
Mm-hmm. Your dad was a wise man.
So, yes, there were a lot of good things that came out of my childhood as well. And that was one of the wisdom that was passed on. You have given so much in this conversation, and we have as well through our conversation, to our audience members. We haven't said, do this A, B, and C kind of thing, but if people listen to this and listen to it again and share it, then this can and is very helpful. In the last minute or two that we have together, is there anything else that you want to cover other than recommending that people go to energeticallysensitivechild.com or esc.ms, attend one of your workshops, listen to one of the white light children meditation or visualizations, and what else can we give them real quickly?
Well, it's important that parents again realize that how they think is and how they deal with their world through the choices that they make is how they're teaching their children. And you know, when things go negative, it's important now not to see that as a problem and get all frustrated and angry, but to see that it's simply a wonderful opportunity to expand that child's awareness of its choices. If you get angry and frustrated with the child, first of all, the children then learn to be afraid of the parent. And once a child is afraid of a parent, then it doesn't matter when the parent's not in a consciously angry place. Any information they impart to the child now is not going to sink in because the child now is shut down on those levels to the parent.
There's so much There's so much. Thank you for doing what you're doing. And I hope to help you spread this message and we through Life Changes even more, because it's so important.
Well, maybe we'll do a few more discussions.
Well, this has already been a good start. It was good to have you on air before, but this time we actually got to meet the whole family as well. And later on, may this family and information grow.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much. We'll be right back with Mark Leger and our producer's wrap right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
Well, we're back, and this is our producer's wrap after a fun interview with Michael Simonson. Isn't it great that learning can be fun, Mark?
It's almost shocking.
Almost shocking. Surprisingly, I never knew you can learn from fun.
You know, it really is. We've been taught so different. And you know, so many things are out of habit or just accepted as this is the way it's done or the way it should be. Or, you know, those of us that grew up in some of the older style private or religious schools, you know, we're used to the knuckle cracking and you know, some very different types of teaching methodologies.
That are probably still used somewhere in the world.
Somewhere, I'm sure.
Or worse.
Or you know, many places. But, you know me, I tend to look at things from a slightly scientific perspective. It's just kind of the way, you know, technologically speaking. And what kept coming to mind for those that enjoy this kind of thing or would like to learn more pragmatically of what Micah was saying is this whole kind of new, more validated space of field studies. You know, field studies being the energy, the cloud of energy that is the individual. You know, we all have the aura, the energy that is around us. And I use a simple example of everybody or most people have had that experience when you get on an elevator with someone and you have a feeling. I had just a bad feeling when I met that person. Good feeling.
Some people
are drawn to people or
bad
not.
Vibe.
Bad vibe. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's something, you know, when you first meet someone or in that elevator, when you come in contact, then you're what's actually happening is your fields are meeting. You're energetically overlapping. You're experiencing and then connecting to the energy. So it's really what's happening, what Michael has been saying, and what we. What's so great about this knowledge is understanding that we extend out beyond our physical body and what that means, what we are doing, what we're experiencing, what we're giving off when he talks about worry, when he talks about anger. And so when you have that in your being, you are handing that directly to your son or daughter or loved one or friend or whatever the case may be. And the more that we can start understanding what it truly means to be connected, then the more we can deal with what we're carrying and not hand that to those around us. And I think that's really the core of this work, the way I'm seeing it, the way I'm learning it, and what I'm trying to practice with my own son.
You know, I love what you're saying, and it's reminding me of people that have said. Actually, it was my in-laws that taught me this, and my brother, when I was looking to give a gift, a physical gift, to one of their children, and they said, you know, spend time with them or be happy around them. And I thought, wow, what a concept. And now into perspective with what Michael was saying earlier and what you're saying, it's like, what's the use if you come bearing negative energy and all these negative thoughts, but you bring them a toy or a gift, when screw the gift, bring them the happy energy that they can actually feed off and have a better life around.
Well, it gets even a little bit more confusing. Yes, because then you get into the way the brain processes and logs information and the associative learning, which means what definitions are then applied. So that toy then becomes equated to the energy that it's been given in.
Interesting,
and
yeah.
So the idea of fun has a different definition. That's the idea of love becomes something different for people that experience that in sometimes traumatic situations. I love you, but I have to hurt you, or you know, this is going to hurt,
kind of
mixed messages and plurality of messaging.
You know, this all sounds so complicated and complex, and yet, like Michael said, it is very simple. It's back to the I love you. And so I'm trying to think, okay, how do we simplify this even more? It's like, well, I love you enough to or I love myself enough, or I love you enough to make myself, to find a happy place inside of me when I'm around you.
Bingo. I think you just hit the nail on the head, and you know, Dorothy, our executive producer and partner, has said this so many times to us, and so I need to give her a shout out for that. But it really does come from within. This whole idea of, you know, be the change you want to see, the change coming within. If you stop looking at what someone is doing or projecting it out to them, and you really look at yourself, what are you doing to contribute it? What's your state of mind? What is your energy in that present moment? And work simply from there first. And that means, are you in a loving place? Are you in a kind place? Mm. So strip the science away. Just stay from the place of what is your vibration? What is your feeling? What is the energy in that moment? And then, as if you were giving something to that person you're relating to, you wouldn't want to give them something that would hurt them.
Yeah.
And so people don't realize if they're angry,
stay home.
You know, you don't look at it that way. You don't think you don't want to give something that's hurtful or draining or worry or doubt, especially when it comes. And I come from, you know, some of those backgrounds where there's a lot of love, but the lot of love was associated with worry or doubt or fear. And I think there's the number one enemy, and that's fear. And so really check internally for that fear, the presence of that fear.
Well, so this is taking the, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all, at many steps deeper, if you don't have good energy to bring, don't bring any.
or better yet, find something nice to say and say it to yourself.
Ooh. That's a great place to stop. Say that one more time.
If you don't have anything nice to say, find it and say it to yourself.
And with that, I can't think of a greater way to end this exciting show. And I thank Michael Simonson. And speaking of shouting out to a shout out to Dorothy Donahue, our producer, she was the one that said, we need to have Michael Simonson back on the show. And he's going to be in town, and it'll give us an opportunity to meet him. And what a pleasure that has been. And a pleasure putting out this information. Actually, the pleasure increased when we got to meet his wife, who is also part of all of this, Deb. And his beautiful daughter, Sabina, who we had the pleasure of having and hearing on the show just moments earlier. This is Filippo Voltaggio saying, as your life changes, we're here for you as well. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.